Let's get to the Kings. Quick ruling, though, from the crowd here of two. And, you know, look, don't avoid your initial instincts. Just be honest. Is it weird to think that a video game character is attractive? I don't mean in a creepy, weird, obsessive way.
What do you mean?
Well, like, I was playing this video game, and I thought, like, oh, well, that character's attractive looking. And then I was like, ugh. But then I was like, is this the same thing as, like, the Jessica Rabbit corollary, where in the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit, a lot of people thought Jessica Rabbit was meow. Mm-hmm. She's a rabbit and a cartoon. I don't know what the rulings
are. She was a person.
She was a rabbit.
No, she wasn't.
I thought she was.
And Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, wasn't she a rabbit?
She was a person.
Was she?
She got his last name because they got married.
Oh, I thought she was a rabbit. Well, whatever. You still have some interspecies stuff going on there that's nothing weird to talk about. I'm just saying, is it acceptable?
I wouldn't have thought it was weird until you started talking like this.
I'm not saying I'm putting a poster on my wall. I'm saying
you took it down.
I'm not saying I didn't either. My wife walks in and is like, what are you doing?
Well, that's staring at the poster.
We saved the world together. It's pretty cool. Anyways.
Do we not have peas?
the Kings play New York tonight, Jason Ross.
Yes.
The Knicks. Jason, have you ever been to Madison Square Garden?
Stinky. Yes, I have.
I have not. Is it all they say it is?
Bing bong.
I've been outside it.
It is interesting, to say the least. So I was so excited to go the first time I was there.
Yeah,
was
like, it's the mecca of basketball.
Exactly. You hear all this stuff. And I remember walking in the garden. I was there the first time with the Monarchs and got inside and was like, wow, it stinks in here.
Oh, really?
And we were in like the freight elevator and they said, oh, the circus was here. I said, oh, really? When? Like 4 minutes ago?
Oh.
But they're like, yeah, a couple weeks ago. I'm like, it just stunk. And I would have thought the elephant was in the elevator with us. It was so stinky. And then you get inside, but then it's like, then there's something that comes over. You're like, wow, this is, because it didn't look that, but this is before the renovations. Because you're just thinking like it's going to be this most amazing palace inside. And it's just, it didn't feel like it to me. But then you just look at all the banners and all the, and there's a bunch of pictures throughout of all the historical things that have happened there. And you're like, wow, that's kind of amazing that all this stuff has happened in this building.
Is it like the stink of history, basically?
Yeah. But now it's been redone. I think it's better. The other part that it literally is, if you've been to the outside, it's like, wow, it's here? Like you're in, you know, Manhattan. It's like in the
middle of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just, I'd been so used to, at that time, Arco Arena. You're like, you drive to a separate place, arena standing still on its own. Here you're in a the biggest city.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I saluted this city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
The Colonel. And then there you go. It's just right there. But it's I think the renovations have made it a lot better too.
November 3rd, 2019 is a date that will live in infamy. That is the last time the Kings won in Madison Square Garden. I actually thought they'd won since then, but looking at it, I'm wrong.
Okay.
The Knicks generally give the Kings a really bad time, regardless of where it is. Although the Kings had a couple wins over the last few years, for the most part. And by the way, the lifetime head-to-head series between the franchises, Kings 159, Knicks 150.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
eat it, New York.
Yeah, not much there, though, for the Kings. And the Knicks came in and beat Sacramento 98-91. That was just back last month, March 16th. So, Jason, tonight, I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm going to present a theory to you. Taking away depth, that's obviously going to be an issue. The Kings might be a better suited matchup against the Knicks without Herter and Monk than with them. And I'll explain. I know you know where I'm going here. Obviously, no shade on either of those guys. Would far rather have them. But for this specific matchup, you're definitely going to have Keon Ellison for Kevin Herter. And now with Malik Monk out, that means who's getting his minutes? Trey Lyles, Davion Mitchell, Alex Len a little bit when people slide around. All are better defensive players. In fact, three of the best defensive players the Kings have in Len, Mitchell, and the other guy I mentioned, Trey Lyles. And I mean, like that specifically for the Knicks,
yeah,
might be a good thing for Sacramento.
And even then, the next layer becomes Duarte and Kessler Edwards.
Yeah, you're right.
That you kind of have used already as defensive guys. Yeah, I mean, I can see that angle for sure.
The caveat, the big fat all yes. caps caveat is that means Keegan and Harrison and obviously De'Aaron, you have to be hitting your shots.
Have to. There's no one saving you.
No.
I mean, Malik has saved them. Yes. I don't want to.
You're right.
We can't undersell what right. he has meant to this team because there has been so many games this year. It's like, man, they just don't have. Oh, Malik. Wow, without Malik, where would they be? Malik, 24 points in the second half. Malik, all 10 points in overtime. I mean, Malik has been sensational. And they miss him. They will continue to miss him. But what you have to do is then get the best of everyone else in what they do. And really, for the last two games, I think they've done a good job of that.
Old heads will remember, and historians will remember. It's just funny we say that because we saw this guy play where we say historians, but there's a guy who came off the bench for the Detroit Pistons named Vinnie Johnson. He was nicknamed the Microwave. And part of the genesis of that nickname was he would just come in and heat things up. And their games are not exactly the same, but I always think of Vinnie Johnson when I think of Malik Monk, a guy that just, to your point, things are not falling, energy's kind of off, especially at home where I think he's the most effective. Vinnie Johnson would come in, and he could just tear the roof. He was instant offense, would just tear the roof off the place, and it would lift the rest of the team. And right. Malik was like that. So, yes, are they a better defense? Just straight up, in a vacuum, are they a better defensive team without Monk and without Herter? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But you better have that offense going. And I think we're gonna need more out of Harrison Barnes offensively yes. tonight than we got last time.
Yeah, and I think that's where sharing the ball, passing the ball, moving the ball, getting the best of Sabonis, getting the best of Fox, and then Keegan being aggressive, and then finding those other guys to hit the open plays. And I think that's how this group is gonna have to go to work. Because we now know Kevin Herter, we've already known, but he's officially done. They announced yesterday mm-hmm. there was more of an update that he had the shoulder surgery, and hopefully he'll be ready to go for the start of next season. Malik, it just depends on how far they can take this. But, again, the initial report was 4 weeks reevaluation. So, yeah. I mean, it's basically been 1 week. It hasn't even been a week.
No, it's been 1 week. What's
since you looked at me.
Yeah, it's who was that? Yeah, it's been 1 week. Who?
Bare Naked Ladies.
Bare Naked Ladies. Thank yes. you. That's a good band.
B&L.
Also, as we go to break, yeah, the Kings sent out a press release yesterday saying that Kevin Herter had successful shoulder surgery to repair the torn labrum and blah, blah, blah. And I read it. I found myself thinking, has there ever been a press release where a player has had unsuccessful surgery? on an injury. Like, Frankie Johnson underwent unsuccessful knee surgery yesterday. Like, I understand that the surgery down the road might prove to have been unsuccessful if it's re-injured or something.
I was going to say, I have heard of he's had successful surgery after his previous surgery.
Right, but they don't know now. So why not just say he had surgery?
Right.
What do you mean successful?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they woke up.
They tried. Yes. I know, right? They gave it their best
because
shot.
There have been some, sadly, that haven't.
I'm talking about, like, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. No. Yeah.
I know
yeah
that went
no,
dark.
Yeah,
but yeah.
That, yes.
But I know what you mean.
Like, yes. Talking about
like, and honestly, do we know?
Do we know if it was successful?
Well, the other part, yes, he's still with us. That's
well,
important.
Right, right.
But what if the shoulder didn't heal properly?
Yeah, and to be clear, we're talking about like ankles and knees and shoulders, right. Not you know the right. other stuff that's more serious. I don't know. Yeah. I just found it. Like, I raised an eyebrow. That's like, well, I forget what it's like. We'll take a break when we come back. Three for Madness brought to you by Fire Wings. Did that Clippers win? And what I mean by is the Kings win over the Clippers. Did that change your mind a little bit about the record on this road trip? And who's going to be tonight's Velvet King? We'll talk about that next.
Three questions, three answers. It's Three for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
Bet you can't guess what we were talking about.
There's just no chance.
Yeah.
You give them all day.
Gross.
Exactly.
Sports Business with Kelly Brothers, speaking of, coming up at 7:30. Sam
Good
Amick,
business.
8 o'clock. Right now, it's Fire Wings is a 3 for Madness. Question one, Christopher Lott.
Did the Clippers win change your mind about the record on this road trip?
Yeah, so...
You had them at 2-6.
I had them at 2...
Overall.
Overall.
So now they've already got one.
They do. Halfway there.
Yeah.
Living on a prayer.
I would be really disappointed if they went 1-6 the rest of the way.
Wait. 2-6?
Yeah, you said the Clipper game, you're right.
So the road trip consists of New York, Boston, Brooklyn, Oklahoma City.
They need to.
They do.
They need two games.
You know what? I hate even verbalizing this. I'm going to adjust my prediction up one. They'll go 2-2 on this road trip.
Okay.
They'll get either New York or Oklahoma City.
I think they might have good trips in New York. New York and Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Of course, they're going to beat, you know.
Would it make you, I know this would fit the season, would you be mad if they beat the Knicks, the Celtics, and the Thunder?
And lost to Brooklyn? No, it would just, it would be 3-1. And it would,
you wouldn't be mad.
Okay. Like, I would be, as we always say, I would be ground level mad. I would be 50,000 feet happy. Like, at the day after the Brooklyn game.
See. So that's Thursday. So tomorrow you could talk about a Knicks win.
Yeah.
We wouldn't really get to talk about the Celtics win because that's Friday.
That's old news.
Sunday, it'd be, we're back here Monday, and you'd be like, how do you beat New York and Boston and lose to Brooklyn?
That's what that would happen. I got to admit.
Yeah.
That, I would 100% say that. I would eventually move into the, but again.
They've already got two wins on the trip.
They've already got two wins on the trip. They won in Boston. I'd rather them, as we said before, I'd rather them beat the good teams and lose to the bad teams and the other way around, and they can't beat anybody good. Don't put that out there. I could have a 3-1 road trip and the one loss. But, I mean, it's like we said. They have they're 10-5 and 4 they're in their last 15. 4 of their 5 losses have come at home, and the one road loss came in Washington.
Yeah.
So it's almost the same thing, Jason Ross.
Yeah.
Did it change your mind?
I was really impressed with that win.
I
really liked that Clipper win.
I was.
Made me believe there's a little bit more to the totality of this group, so they got to keep playing like that. My target still is 2. If they can get 2 wins on this road trip, that'd be good for them.
Question 2, please.
Question 2.
Who will be tonight's Velvet King?
Well, not a day goes by that Jason's not my Velvet King.
Hey now.
But, you know, I'm going to go Trey Lyles. This seems like a Trey Lyles-y game. Just New York-y and blue collar and defense-y and, you know, physical. Everything Canada is.
Yeah.
It just feels to me like Trey Lyles could have himself a time at Madison Square Garden.
You know who I'm going to say today?
Who?
Trey Lyles. I got the same one. I have the same feelings you do about this game and Trey Lyles.
Yeah.
And his importance to this team. And, he's going to be big.
I think he's going to be big, too.
Yeah. Velvet King.
The Trey Velvet Lyles. King Trey Lyles. Hey, I'll give him the crown.
Yeah.
Question 3.
Question 3.
Do you enjoy early East Coast starts?
Do I enjoy early East Coast starts? Well, tonight the Kings play the Knicks, 4:30. It's a TNT-only game.
All Knicks.
Which means Katie is paid to do nothing.
Yeah. Sacktown Sports.
Oh, around the by the way, I don't. Yes, and I was leading into a plug. Thank you for that. Right here, Sacktown Sports.
Yeah.
Gary Gerald,
yes.
Right? I don't know the answer to this. I give you my word, but let's go around the room real quick. Will Katie be at tonight's game, or will she watch it from someplace else? Now, just to be fair, for context, she did say that when this happened in Phoenix for the TNT game, she watched the game from Marley's Sports Bar. Not saying it's going to be the same thing, but we're going to find out on Wednesday.
And didn't she used to live in Brooklyn?
She did. She bartended in Brooklyn for a while.
Right.
In between when the Maloofs booted her for Jim Gray, she moved to New York for a while. So will she watch the game at MSG, or will she elect to watch it somewhere else, perhaps with New York friends? Jason Ross.
I'm going to go with she's going to the game. I think there's a couple of things at play here. One, she was in Phoenix a lot longer, and she literally said she was with friends. I don't know if she's got anything set up for tonight.
Yes.
Maybe that's more of a day thing. But also, they're leaving right after the game to go to Boston.
Mm.
So, not that you can't get there right away or, you know, fourth quarter when the game ends.
Sure.
But I think a little time constraints and that, I'm going to say she's going to be at the game.
Gotcha. Chris or Lod?
I'm going to say she's not going to be at the game.
She's not going to be at the game.
Dave?
I'm going to say, and you nailed it, I think she normally would not be at the game, especially in a place she used to live with, live at.
Like she had another day.
But the fact that they're leaving afterwards and the fact that she is so manic about that stuff, I think
bags will be on the bus already.
Her worst nightmare would be to miss the plane. I think she'll be at the game. Yeah. But I don't know. Well, Chris, if you're right, she stands alone, buddy. Yeah. You get the trophy.
Hey, by the way, the only time I've ever missed a team bus, Sac State, Kings, Monarchs, was in New York.
Really?
One of my first trips was in New York. I guess there was a text thread, and I think it was one of my first trips. And I was not, and they had moved. I'm not going to be late. Let's say the bus was 4:30 or whatever. I'm like, I'll get downstairs at 4:15. And I saw a bus drive away, but I'm like, well, that can't be our bus. But I'm like, where is everybody? And then someone called, where are you? I'm like, I'm in the lobby. Like, we just left. Like, it's 4:15.
They were going to the airport?
No, to the arena. And of all places, I actually ran outside, got a cab. I beat them there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was the right place to miss a bus.
Bing, bang.
Right.
But I went, how? Anybody going to tell me?
No.
I didn't get the text.
That was your...
It's my initiation.
Yeah, your initiation. Yeah. They hazed you a little bit.
Like, no.
I love East Coast starts. Now I don't love them
for the bedtime.
Yeah, right? You really do.
I do,
because you can. You know, the worst thing for you is
the 7:30 TNT.
Yeah,
Lakers, Clippers. Whatever.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And game gets pushed back and it's longer. And
this thing, you'll be all wrapped up by 7 probably ish. Home.
I'll be in a Snuggie by 7:30.
Easily in your Snuggie by 7:30. Your Sacktown.
I'll bring it
Snuggie.
Here.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. Maybe bring the egg maker.
I had another one this morning.
Did you?
So good. I didn't even shush it around. Well, I've got one more bagel. I'm going to complete the week.
You're going to complete. Yeah. Don't burn out on them.
No.
You can't really burn out on them.
No, but I think I'm going to make them into burritos, breakfast burritos.
Just do a couple and then throw them in, cut them in half.
Tortilla.
That's what we've done before. You just cut the circle in half. I love them. I think they're great. Now, you know, look, I'd rather be at home and have the home crowd, blah, blah, blah. But for a road game, 4:30, you're done, and then there's other sports on at
night. I wonder if it screws up the real people that work.
That
work till 5 or 6.
And that's the caveat. If you're working a 9-to-5, 9-to-6, you hate it, and I totally understand that. There's just no question. It sucks, and you're either – but you know what? Everybody can get – you can get TV on your phone.
Yeah. Or the app.
Yeah.
This is the Gmail.
Thank you.
I'm not a fan of the early games.
Well, because he's a contrarian.
It messes with my schedule.
Well, how so? Schedule?
So, like, when I leave here, I go to the gym.
Yeah.
Come home.
Flex.
Sleep for a couple of hours. And then that's basically, I have to get, like, I basically, my sleep is like 3 hours and 3 hours now.
Wait, you take a
long nap?
Wait.
Yeah.
So what time are you taking your nap at?
Like, 3 to 6.
Whoa.
And then what time do you go to bed?
About midnight.
I mean, I get out.
That's the only way I've been able to make this work.
Oh, my God.
You go home and sleep right away, don't you?
I go home, I eat, and then, I try to get an hour or whatever. I mean, God, the other day I had like 3 hours and could not go to bed. It sucked. Yeah. I usually wake up.
Do you every day or?
No, almost always on Mondays, because Mondays are the tough one after the weekend. And then usually on a Friday for sure, because the week's caught up. And then, you know, maybe probably about 3 times a week, maybe a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But it's usually an hour or two.
Yeah. I try to on a home game night, because I know it's going to be a little bit later and it just helps me. But today I probably won't, and tomorrow. And then, I'm already the weekend.
Yeah.
So good.
But wow, I just, that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's got to be an hour-ish, hour and a half.
What time do you get out of here?
12:30.
Have you thought about going home, eating, and napping then, and then working out?
I've done that.
Doesn't work better for you?
Because, like, I'll wake up, and I'll just be like, I don't want to go.
But even waking up at 6, knowing that you're, I don't know, it feels like then you're going to bed soon again.
Yeah, but he's going to bed at midnight. And so what, you're up at 3, 3:30?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Wow. By the way, people who work mornings like this, how many things have you noticed that are you reading more things about how, like, wow, if you don't get an 8 hours of sleep every night, you're liable to have a stroke.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
But I will say this, too. Way more people driving around in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Right? What is with that?
Like when we all come in.
Yes.
I just, for a while, I'm like.
It's all these Bay Area people going to their jobs in the Bay.
Get out.
Yeah.
Go back to the greater Sacramento area, San Francisco.
Keep your team over there.
Yeah, keep your team. You get even more of these Bay Area wieners. We'll take a break.
Well, we appreciate you listening.
Well, yeah. No, we do. And, you know, we know you love your sports.
Yeah.
When we come back, let's you know what, guys? Let's do a curveball here. Let's talk to Kelly Brothers. I'm feeling a Kelly Brothers mood coming on.
Me too.
Sports
good
business.
Good at business.
He is good at business. And we'll talk about this A's situation and much more with Kelly. My dad's favorite segment coming up next right here on Sacktown Sports.
Joining us now on SportsSense, certified financial planner Kelly Brothers. Kelly is an advisor with CapTrust, one of the nation's largest registered investment advisors. CapTrust counts among its clients numerous pro athletes and pro sports franchises, but most importantly serves many Northern Californians through comprehensive financial planning. Here's Kelly Brothers.
Yeah, he does. And I'll have words with anyone who says otherwise. Kelly Brothers joins us. And Kelly, I'm going to start out with a...
I love waking up and seeing Carmichael Dave's name more in the national media than George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, that's a whole different thing. Let me tell you something. I did not want to break that story. I held it and held it and held it. And just a quick aside on something like that. First off, to a lot of people, it's exciting. To a lot of people, it's horrible news. Secondly, this is something I think you'd only understand if you've ever been through it, but when you break a story, there's this time between when you break it and when it is confirmed by multiple sources that you're just out there and God knows what could happen. And you miss one. I got crap on the timeline. I was like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Dave also said MLS was coming to Sacramento. And I'm like, and I want to be like, guys, the commissioner was here. You're blaming me for that. They had a rally. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
But that just shows you. So you're out on this limb by yourself. And it's like my blood pressure is a little bit up today because of that. Kelly, I want to throw you a curveball, though. And I know you'll hit it out of the park, the good hitter you are. I know you're going to hit this one out of the park. So,
and one of the 3,800 people in the park will get the ball.
Yes. So it was announced as the real breaking news today, by the way, here locally, is that local treasure Mark Finan is retiring after over 3 decades in the business. And Kelly, you worked with him for many years over at Channel 3. I only have one Mark Finan story, and it's great. I think I've told this on the air before. This is when Barry Bonds was chasing the home run record. And we're partners with Channel 3, so anytime something sportsy happens and their C block is dead, they troll for the bottom of the barrel. And I was the only guy available, so I go down there. You know, I'm in a nice, I'm wearing a sport jacket. You know, it's Channel 3. It's where the news comes first. You got to dress up. This ain't, you know, we're not screwing around here with one of the other, you know, I don't want to name a station, but you get it. So the way where they have me is I got an earpiece and I'm on a chair in like the middle of the newsroom, not at the desk or anything. I'm in the newsroom and I'm surrounded by cubicles and people, you know, journalisting away. And just to my right is Mark Finan has his like little half circle, you know what I'm talking about, Kelly's setup that's in the newsroom. And so I look over, you know, whenever you do TV, by the way, they want you there 4.5 hours early and then you wait and
for
then
5 minutes
and then they have you on for 20 seconds. Yeah. So I'm sitting there in like hour 3 and finally I turn and I go, hey, Mark, big fan. And he goes, oh, hey, Dave, same here, which I was like, oh, yeah, he knows what, you know, one of those. And then so it's kind of quiet. And then I'm trying to fill time and I go, hey, Mark, what's we're going to get any rain this weekend or what? Just curious because I'm going to an outdoor party. Straight up on my kids, I'm not lying. So, Mark, hey, are we going to have any weather this weekend? I'm doing this party. And he pauses and he goes, Well, Dave, we've got a system coming out of the West Coast right now. We're going to be nice and clear tomorrow, but tomorrow night around 5 p.m., we're expecting maybe about 0.3 inches. You should be clear on. He goes into, in his TV voice, this whole weather report for like a minute, and then by the time I did my Barry Bonds spot, I'm still going, I just got like a cameo, one of those things you pay for, full-on weather report from Mark Finan. He's a fun dude, Kelly.
No, he's I don't know if you guys, my family loves Modern Family.
And, yes.
They had a guy on there, Rain or Shine.
Yes.
Who was the weatherman in L.A. And same thing. He would just go directly into his full weathercast, right. And he did it hard. No, Mark's the goat. He is.
Yeah.
He's not only a great guy, but I've grown addicted to his. He does a morning feed from his home office. And he spends, 4 or 5 minutes talking about the weather, but he goes into, the waves and the what this means, and this is sinking,
right?
This barometric pressure is up, but he loves weather. He loves what he does. He knows it impacts people. I'll never forget. It was New Year's Eve, 1997. And Mark and I went on to do a cut-in. Remember, that was when the floods, the rains were starting to come down.
Now, Kelly, and, just to be clear, correct me if I'm wrong, just for people listening, I'm assuming, so cut-in is like it's regular programming, and then you guys, it's like a little 5-10 seconds, like coming up on the news it's, or whatever.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't even scheduled to be 3 or 4 minutes and then go back to regular programming.
Gotcha. Okay.
But while we were on, something came out. Oroville Dam was to overflow or something came out. Anyway, we went in to do this 3-minute cut-in. KCRA was on the air nonstop without commercials for 96 hours from that moment on.
Wow.
Because that, I don't know if you remember that, but that was incredible rains. And it was one of those situations where it wasn't just rain. It was warm rain that was washing down all the snow, which meant all of these dams were full and rivers were raging. But anyway, but Mark was, Mark's just the best. I think he's been there 33 years.
Yeah, 33.
So. So I sent the note from Derek, the news director, out to my kids, and my 21-year-old son is, oh, man, it's tough when your heroes go away.
He's the only weather guy. He's known him his whole life.
That's right. No, we're gonna miss him. And if we throw him a party, Dave, you're invited, and we'll ask him, hey, what's the weather looking like this week?
Exactly.
No, I want him to say, hey, what's going on in the world of sports lately, buddy?
And I'll be like,
well, Mark, let me tell you. Yes. And we'll start with Jason, the
Oakland A's.
The Oakland A's.
Other team to be named A's. Kelly, what's your take on this developing story?
No, I know it is sad for A's fans, but they can't go on the way it is. They just can't. No. You cannot have your second game of the year have 3,800 people. And that's not even 3,800 people. That's 3,800 tickets sold.
Yeah.
So, that's just pathetic. And I think they had 6,500 last night, but they're playing the Boston Red Sox. I'm actually surprised. Mark Finan wasn't there. He's a big Red Sox fan. But so you just can't go on that way. They need to change something. And Sacramento is probably their next best option. If they just stay at the Coliseum, the anger and the animus between the ownership and the fans is still there. At least now there's a chance for some new energy for a few years before they land wherever they land. I'm very interested to know whether or not the Las Vegas deal ever happens, because their mayor is talking like, we don't want John Fisher. The A's stay there. We'll come up with something else. But guys, when you own the team, you own the team. And we just saw that as well with Glenn Taylor in Minnesota, who struck a deal and then basically realized, wait a minute, this team is worth a lot more than I thought it was, and my team's in second place in the West. I'm not going to go through with the deal. And by the way, the other thing I just saw this morning, NBA to set a sellout record tonight in terms of number of sellouts in an individual season. 11 teams sold out every game, 11 teams, including the Kings.
It's a great segue into Glenn Taylor. And for those who are, just kind of familiar with the story, Alex Rodriguez and his partner, Mark Lori, had an opportunity set to buy the team. And they were all set. And then a few weeks ago, you heard that they were having a little bit of funding issues. But they tapped a company called Dial Capital, who had minority interests, now that the NBA, with the Kings being the first one, allowed these firms to take limited parts of NBA teams. Dow Capital owned, they divested their shares in the Suns when Robert Sarver sold. They still own a decent chunk of the Kings, and they were going to help fund that purchase. What I find amazing, Kelly, is not so much the Glenn Taylor aspect, but when they made that deal for that price, as it's well known now, that value has gone up quite a bit. And, oh, by the way, expansion's on the horizon. Oh, by the way, the TV contract is on the horizon. These values are only going to go up. What an absolute and complete failure by the Alex Rodriguez group to trigger that clause for Glenn. They had a written deal, and it triggered a clause for Taylor to get out. I'm not saying I'm a fan of Glenn Taylor, Kelly, but you're the financial guy. From a financial standpoint, it seemed like it was a no-brainer for him.
No, if he has got, if all that is memorialized like we are hearing it is in a contract, you are absolutely right. Alex Rodriguez did not get whatever signed document or whatever check he needed to get in to make this go through. And the sad part for A-Rod is he could have turned around and sold it for probably $1 billion more than what he was buying it.
Right.
So I don't have a high regard for either side in this transaction, really, because they both kind of screwed up. But no, the values obviously continue to go up. And guys, here's a question for you, because you know I think there's a WNBA team involved in this too. But you watch that Caitlin the Clark game, and I can't figure out. Is college basketball really on the rise as much as it seems to be, or is this just a Caitlin Clark phenomena that's going to die off as she leaves college? And I don't know. And probably it's in the middle. Probably it is rising. It spikes with Caitlin Clark and comes back down to the trend line. But it seems to see the numbers of viewership, to see that it was the all-time highest betting event ever in women's sports, and also, I watched the game. I had never watched a full game before, and she is unbelievable. Although she has no mid-range game, she doesn't. She is either a perfect pass to a cutter, or she's hitting a 32-foot three.
Yeah,
but there's nothing in between.
Steph Curry.
Yeah, you know what would be interesting, Kelly, because you're right. The ratings were just. I mean, I think everybody expected it to be good. They were astronomical. She plays in the Final Four, obviously, plays Connecticut. If she were, and I think this is where we'll kind of partially answer your question, because I'm assuming that'll have great ratings, but if she were to lose in the Final Four and UConn moves on to take on, let's say, undefeated South Carolina, that's two power programs with pretty good rich traditions, which I think a lot of basketball purists would love, but Caitlin Clark would then be removed from that. So I wonder if the semis would do better than the finals in that case as far as viewership if she were to be eliminated.
Oh, is there any doubt that whatever Caitlin Clark's last game in this tournament is will be the highest rated game in college basketball history and will stay that way even after the finals? I don't think so. But, I will say this. I was laughing at ESPN because on their stack of importance of news, they had the women's game above the men's game.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, that's very self-serving because you have the rights to the women's game. You do not have the rights to the men's game. But if you look at Clark's ratings, it's probably the right move.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this yesterday, that the Iowa game versus LSU, which was a rematch with her, Angel Reese also is one of those icons, and that rivalry there is very, let's use Jordan Bird, Magic Bird, excuse me, as an example here, because I think there are some parallels, and we got to go. But I think there's a lot of parallels here. So number one, you have that rivalry that stems back to last year, and people love to watch rivalries. Number two, Kelly, I think you're right about Caitlin Clark being that, one of those iconic players that's going to raise all the ships, as we say. But the kerosene had already been kind of spread around. It was a bit of a powder keg. The WNBA, the Las Vegas Aces, have become must-see TV. The WNBA numbers are way up, but they don't even approach the numbers of this game. This was an Elite Eight game, not a Final Four game. This is an Elite Eight game, and it outdid amongst other things, the NBA Finals, Major League Baseball, Thursday Night Football, and every single regular season college football game other than Ohio State, Michigan. So the numbers are there, and I do think the sport is very much on the rise. And I think it is a little bit comparable to Magic and Larry, where you may see Caitlin Clark and, let's say, Angel Reese both go pro and continue that rivalry. And that really, you'll remember, the NBA was on tape delay before that. That may help. I'm not saying it'll get to NBA levels. Who knows? But I think it's a very, it's a good callback to what could be the future for women's basketball.
I think you could be right. And I also think this could be a flash in the pan and we could get back to a more normalized level look and just see this incredible spike during the Caitlin Clark era. I don't know. I don't know if Angel Reese would inspire the same level of fanaticism. The other, by watching the game, like I said, that was the first women's game I've watched in its entirety, I think. I've watched a lot of pieces of it, but I'm not sure what I enjoyed more, Caitlin Clark or the histrionics of Kim Mulkey. I mean, Kim Mulkey makes Luka Doncic look like Harrison Barnes. There is no call that Kim Mulkey agrees with.
Yeah, so, that's a good point. She does not. Yeah. No, Kim is must see TV. Kelly, how do people without enough money make more money and get a hold of you?
You know where to find me at CapTrust.com.
Gotcha.
Kelly.brothers at CapTrust.com. And tax day is coming up. Ready, pay, because if not, man, they hit you with penalties and they hit you with interest. And so remember, you can file an extension, but you still need to pay whatever tax you owe by April 15th.
Yeah, Jason.
So. Yeah.
Dodger.
Great to see you guys.
You too. Take care. That's Kelly Brothers taking care of sports business for us. We'll take a break. When we come back, the A's to Sacramento, the details as we know it. And as promised from yesterday, I want to clean up one of the things I said that I didn't believe about the A's coming here. Talk to some people that know things. They gave me some ideas, and I wanted to share those with you. Always want to make sure you have the best possible information. So we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll summarize what we know in your home of the Kings. Hey, and your home of the A's, too, by the way. Sacktown Sports.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports. When it breaks,
we have it first.
It's Sacktown Sports breaking news.
All right, I guess I have to do this the official way. As first reported by Sacktown Sports, the Oakland Athletics to Sacramento is now official. A press release joint from the A's, Major League Baseball, and the Sacramento Kings. I will read it as such. Sutter Health Park to host A's baseball. Today, the Kings, majority owner of the five-time Pacific Coast League champion Sacramento Rivercats, announced that Sutter Health Park will host the A's for three seasons starting in 2025 with an option for a fourth, which was our guess earlier, ahead of the team's transition to Las Vegas. Vivek was quoted, "I'm thrilled to welcome the A's to Sutter Health Park, where players and fans alike can enjoy a world-class baseball experience and create unforgettable memories." Rob Manfred, Commissioner, Major League Baseball, quote, "On behalf of all of Major League Baseball, I want to express my appreciation to West Sacramento, Sutter Health Park, the Kings, and the greater Sacramento region for their excitement to host the A's for interim play as the A's new permanent home is built in Las Vegas." John Fisher, A's owner, quote, "We look forward to making Sutter Health Park our home through our move to Las Vegas. We extend our appreciation to the Kings and the city of West Sacramento for hosting the A's while we work to complete our new ballpark in Vegas." It goes on to say, "Not only will fans be able to experience baseball in West Sacramento, Major League Baseball, but they will also still get to enjoy the tradition of minor league baseball and the Sacramento River Cats. So, again, as reported, they will share that. Carmichael Dave, quote, thank you for releasing this right when we teased A's news at 7 a.m., coincidentally. By the way, one correction. I had mentioned today in my report last night, I said there's going to be an announcement as soon as today or tomorrow. And then late last night, I got a text from somebody involved saying, we're trying to get all the principals, but this thing might be Friday. So I said, might be Friday, too. The press conference is actually going to be happening in 2 hours, 10 a.m. So they are rushing this thing out. At Sutter Health Park. And wow. So that's it. It's official. The
posting of all this is official.
Yeah, exactly.
There's still questions.
There are a lot of questions. Yeah. But I will just, and then I'll turn it over to you here, Jason. I will just say this, and I'm speaking only for me. I'm not going to speak for anyone else. This is a bittersweet thing. I appreciate all that Vivek has done and the group has done in helping, obviously, save the Kings and investing in Sacramento and continuing to advocate for the city. And obviously, this is good news for them. This is good news for the city financially. It's good news for the city from a spotlight and major league standpoint that maybe could. And this is a true thing. It will bring more eyes on the city. It will bring more investment in the city. This could open up doors in MLS. It could open up doors in baseball. I'm not immune to any of that. That from in a vacuum, in a black and white, from a city standpoint, it's hard to find fault in this from a city standpoint. But I will reiterate, this is, and I am feeling right now the emotions of the Kings and everything we went through. And I can only imagine what A's fans, both Bay Area and even local, are feeling right now, whether it's conflicted or just absolutely depressed. And let's be honest, Jason, a lot of people excited. So I'm not putting on my party hat. I understand it's a good thing for Sacramento in the interim, but I want to acknowledge A's fans, and I want to acknowledge the city of Oakland that has been through so much in losing all their teams. And just to say, you got absolutely hosed. You got absolutely screwed on this, and I'm sorry. And I'm sure we'll be seeing quite a few of you up here in the coming years.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, there's
with shirts on.
I feel for them, for sure. Mm-hmm. All along, I just wondered, even like when the other day, I think it was 2 days ago, where allegedly Oakland countered with their proposal.
Yeah.
I mean, if the A's weren't even negotiating, and I say A's, John Fisher and his group, weren't even negotiating in good faith, then, I mean, were they even listening? Were they even attempting?
Right.
Did they even try? I think they've been out. Look, there's also a reason that the Warriors went to San Francisco. There is a reason that the Raiders left. I mean, it stinks on many different levels, and now they went from three professional teams to zero.
Yeah.
If this all goes through.
Yeah.
And then there's still questions about what is the NBC Sports? How did this work out? What will they change their parameters on the deal? Can Vegas happen? Will this all still go through? Everything is pointing towards it happening. But like you said before, until shovels or deals are 100% finalized, you just never know.
One thing I hate about the narrative about Oakland trying to keep the A's are people, the team has tried for decades to try and get a new stadium in Oakland. They've tried for decades. No, they haven't. They've been trying to get out of Oakland from the beginning. You didn't hear about Oakland stadiums until 2016 when the Raiders left. And now they're pushing this narrative of, like, we've done our best for decades to try and get this team to stay in Oakland, when that's not the case at all.
This is major breaking news, and this is a huge day, whether you like it or not, for the city of Sacramento and the world of sports. Sactown Sports, we'll have comprehensive coverage of this wall-to-wall throughout today. Obviously, we'll still talk Kings and everything else. As a matter of fact, Sam's going to join us in the next segment. We'll do our regular thing with him. But we will continue to follow this. Stiles and Watkins will be on the air during the press conference. They will have those details as well. And we will continue to cover this as the news has broken. It is official. The Oakland Athletics are temporarily relocating to Sacramento for a minimum of 3, if not 4 years, with an option there starting next season. We'll take a break. We're back with Sam next.